Where is Bert? Where are you sitting? Oh, there he is. Bert, thank you for that advertisement. You said it just the way I wrote it, and I appreciate that very much. When Bert was in class, I would be saying something very technical about a verse, and he would just look at me. But if I gave an illustration, he'd write that down. And he has preached that way ever since, and he's a tremendous preacher. I'm thankful tonight to Dale and to Malcolm and to Tommy for the invitation to be with you. I don't know how many times I've been here, but I remember the old auditorium. I do remember that. And I'm always glad to come to Lubbock. 2 weeks ago, I was in Columbia, South Carolina, and last week in Los Angeles, California. So I'm kind of in the middle of the country this week, sort of. But I'm grateful to be with you. In a few weeks, we'll be at Schertz, and we're looking forward to that because I always got to stay with the deans while I'm there. And if you've ever stayed with the deans, you eat well. And so we're grateful for that. I'm grateful to see them here tonight. It's good to see you. You've stayed late tonight. This has become a marathon for me today because I've tried to stay awake and tried to keep Tommy or Paul awake all through the... I know what Tommy Tuller... I've got to quit calling you that, don't I? But I tried to keep Paul awake, too, because if he falls asleep over there, we don't have any DVDs, do we? It's good to see these students from Southwest. And you fellows stick in there. We are in a crisis right now, a drought of gospel preachers. And so if I gave you any advice at all, it would be don't quit. Just keep doing what you're doing, and you can do it. I'm glad this week that we're getting to know our enemy, even better maybe than we did before. And I'm also grateful that tonight we can look at some of the marks he has on his uniform. And some of these are going to shock you, I'm afraid, but that's all right. They shocked me when I saw them. And when you study Satanism, I want you to keep in mind that there are three different kinds of Satanism. There is philosophical Satanism, represented by Anton LaVey, who sees Satan not as a living entity, but as an ideal. He doesn't believe that Satan is real, and yet he wrote his book, you know, the Bible, the Satanic Bible. That's philosophical Satanism. There is, and the Church of Satan represents philosophical Satanism. I've often wondered if those in the Church of Satan think they're the only ones going to hell. I don't know. But there is a religious Satanism. And it does involve a belief in Satan as deity, although not necessarily an evil deity. Religious Satanism believes that Yahweh or God is the evil one, and that Satan represents man at his highest. Well, that's the deceit in the garden, isn't it? If you eat this, you'll be just like a god. And then there are some in our society who just dabble in religious or satanic practices, but they don't have any affiliation with the Church of Satan. Now, with that thought in mind, there are five things I want to do tonight. I want to show us that these symbols emerged out of a doctrine that started in the Colossian church. And second, I want us to see that the Bible does not allow symbols and signs of this kind. In fact, God very clearly tells us not to practice these things. And then I'm going to look at some of these symbols. If we have time, I'll look at as many as I can. But I want us to remember something. A lot of people believe that in these symbols there are powers or magic. And when you think about Satanism, connect it with magic and the occult. And that kind of thing. And so tonight, we'll also look, if we have time, at the dangers of practicing these kinds of things. And while I'm thinking about it, the dangers of Satanism in these modern video games. I'm dealing with two men right now who are addicted to these things. Every night, up all night, playing them. And if you're addicted to them, come and talk to me because they are dangerous. They're just as dangerous as any drug. Who is Satan? Look at 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. He's the god of this world. He walks about seeking whom he may devour. Thankfully, he's not omnipresent. If he were, he'd really be a problem. He's not omnipotent and he's not omniscient. He doesn't know everything. He thought Job would deny God, didn't he? And so we know he's not omniscient. He's the slanderer and the accuser, although cast down, Revelation 12:10. He's the enemy and the tempter of the righteous, Matthew 4:3. He's the Lord of death and the God of flies. I love that one. That's a good title for him, Beelzebub. You know what they call a southerner who acts like the devil? Beelzebubba. He is the evil one who rules in this world. Hebrews 2:14. He's the son of Belial and has ways of keeping himself in the public eye. Point number one, this symbolism emerged out of the doctrine of Gnosticism. Gnosticism is a combination of Greek philosophy, Phrygian mystery religions. It's a combination of also Hebrew backgrounds and some Christianity thrown into it. And in Gnosticism, the idea is from Greek philosophy that the flesh is evil. I hear some of my brethren sometimes preach that from the pulpit, and I shudder. If you think your flesh is evil, cut your arm off, lay it somewhere, and see what it does. Flesh is not evil, and I don't mean that in a funny way. I want you to understand that your flesh is not evil. God created it. But the Gnostics said that the God who created flesh, since flesh is evil, he's evil. And so they looked at Jesus and God as evil. That's what they taught, and they were supposed to be Christians. A lot of the problems we have in the church today were brought about by these fellows. And so any part of the created universe being evil, these fellows used it as some kind of a symbol. Now, I want to illustrate how ludicrous these symbols are by looking at a sneeze and a nursery rhyme. And some of you probably said this nursery rhyme. In the supernatural sense, the sneeze has always had a twofold aspect. There are good sneezes and bad sneezes. I'm going to take a test later. You write that down there. The sneeze can represent the spirit of life to the Gnostic. In fact, one fellow who made a clay image gave proof of its vitality because he said it sneezed. That was Prometheus. Do you remember the fellow that flew toward the sun? And that it can represent, as it did in Aristotle's time, the first sign of recovery in a patient who was thought to be dying. In our society, in America, there's a superstition that if a person sneezes at a meal, somebody in the family is going to die. Well, what about that nursery rhyme? Ring around the rosy, pocket full of posy. Ashes, no, not ashes. That's the way I said it when I was a boy, but that's not how it goes. I teach you, we all fall down. You know what that represents? The bubonic plague. And the sneeze was the symbol that they're about to die, and they fell down. And in the great plague, the fatal symptom of death was the sneeze. Well, now that I've got your attention, so obvious is this connection between the evil material world and the occult Satanism that one of its leading symbols, and I'll show you that in just a moment, is the pentagram. And according to the Satanist, it's the power in magic. It's a star, 5 points. If the point is upward, that's man with his arms outstretched, reaching his highest potential as his God. If the 2 points are pointing upward, as in the Masonic pentagram, then it has the idea of a symbol of evil, which overturns the proper order, and the proper order is then turned around for us. It's the goat of lust in the middle of the pentagram that's interesting to me. The goat of lust in the middle of the pentagram. Well, Macmillan, in noting the connection between Gnosticism and the magical arts, wrote this. In the early Christian centuries, some of the philosophers asserted that the world was created by evil gods. This led to the worship of evil deities, which in turn prompted several heresies, the Manichaeans, the Manichaeans, the Gnostics. Among the Gnostics, there were several major sects. I want you to listen to this one. This is the Ophite sect. The Ophites rejected the God of the Old Testament, consequently glorified the serpent as the illuminator of mankind. And the Ophites believed that the fall in the Garden of Eden was a step forward from ignorance to knowledge. They believed that this was of great benefit to mankind. This Gnostic sect believed that the knowledge that man had derived from Satan, who was their hero in the Garden of Eden. Traditions related to Satanism developed in the Middle Ages. The Black Mass itself can be traced to a rebellion against Catholicism. And I want to tell you about that Black Mass in a moment. It's almost too ugly to describe, but I'm going to try in just a moment. How many of you have ever read Faust? That's a play that glorifies Satan. That's what it's all about. As late as 1900, the Frenchman Eliphas Levi drew a picture of the demon Baphomet, and I'm going to introduce you to him in a moment. That's a corruption of the name Mohammed. This demonic picture possessed the head and horns of a goat, wings, tail, hoofs, and the body of a man. Never have understood why the goat was always a picture of Satanism until it dawned on me that that's a reaction to the Lamb of God. And it's blasphemous. If the goat has a torch burning on the top of his head, that's his wisdom. Evil wisdom, which is a good thing to the Satanists. This picture of the devil provided much of the basis for the way he's portrayed today, with hooves and so on. For just a moment, let's remember something. God frowns on this kind of thing. Andrew Connolly said on one occasion, the Bible from beginning to end forbids the practice of these occult arts. But man seems always want to know these secret things, which incidentally belong to God. Deuteronomy 29:29. God condemns sorcery, fortune-telling, wizardry, and anything else you can think that's profane. And it's interesting to me that the word witchcraft in the New Testament, which also is in that list of things that are condemned that have to do with satanic practices, is the word pharmacopoeia, from which we get our English word pharmacy. And so now we have drugs, the magic arts, Satanism, and all of these things connected together, and all condemned by God as works of the flesh and evil in the extreme. In the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy, there is an explicit condemnation in the law of Moses of these practices. Necromancy, the idea of contacting the dead. How many of you were alive when Bishop Pike went over to Palestine and kneeled down on a hill over there and tried to contact his dead son? And how many of us can pass by and see this, palms read and crystal balls and let's contact the dead and all of that nonsense? And now we have a television program, Touched by an Angel. If that weren't so ludicrous and blasphemous, it would probably be funny. It's all condemned by God. Look at Deuteronomy 18:9-14. And see if that's not something that God condemns. There's a warning there against augury, soothsaying, the magical arts. You know, those folks burned their children in statues. Why? Trying to find out about the future. The magical acts of astrology, snake charmers, all forbidden by God. In fact, were they allowed to construct any similarity of God at all? Wasn't that forbidden? Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Well, in Isaiah's day, if you look at Isaiah 20, Isaiah condemns the practice of necromancy and astrology and wizardry and says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word. Now, the King James has, it's because there's no light in them. The Hebrew says, there's not even a bit of dawn light. They haven't even begun to see the light. Why? They're practicing all of these terrible things. In Jeremiah 27:9, you can read, you hearken not to your prophets, but to your dreams and your soothsayers and your sorcerers. Satanism. The occult, magic. Don't ever separate Satanism as its practice with the magical arts and the astrology charts and all that sort of thing. Christian symbols and signs are no better if they're worshipped. I remember when I was a boy, back before dearth was invented, maybe earth too. And who was that said geezerhood a while ago? I heard one sister in the hallway right here getting upset with you about that. Of course, she said it to me, talking about us being old there. But I remember when I was on the track team at Erie Academy High School, that there was a boy there in a Catholic school, and every time he'd start to run, he'd be kissing that crucifix. As if it had some magical power in it. Even when you take a sign, and the cross is the sign of Christianity, and you start worshiping it or treating it like that, that's the magical arts. That's superstition. That's satanic. So for a minute or two, let's look at some of these symbols.
Are you ready, Paul?
That's the inverted pentagram. In this case, I've got the two up, which means that they are looking for the source of their power. It's used in witchcraft, in the occult rituals. They want to call up the evil spirits as they talk over this thing. I've seen this thing in movies, painted on a floor, and they put all the candles around it, and they have their wonderful satanic moment. The pagans turned the one point up because they thought that represented their heads as their own gods. Anyway, it is used, that symbol represents evil. Whenever you see it, that's a symbol of evil. It matters not if it has a circle around it. It's still a symbol of Satan. The Baphomet star. It's unique to Satanism, Baphomet being the corruption of Muhammad's name. It's a symbol of a demonic deity. Notice the goat's head in the middle of it there. Isn't he a good-looking goat? I always like to get Satan's goat. This thing here, I have seen on our children's jewelry. And if you go to a jewelry store, you can probably find a ring with it on it. It is now used by the Masons. It can be seen on their buildings and the emblems they put on their vehicles to identify each other. This bottom one is just this one simplified. That's also a symbol of Baphomet. Aleister Crowley wore this symbol as well as the 33rd degree founder of the Masons, Albert Pike. The hexagram is one of the most potent symbols used in the working of the powers of darkness. They think if they do their incantations over this one, they can work magic. This next one, and that is another one right underneath it. Now, some people see this and think it's the Star of David, not when it has a circle around it. It's just another hexagram, and they think they can work magic with it. Now, the one under it here is the all-seeing eye. Right here. That's Lucifer. They think Satan's name is Lucifer, incidentally, because they misunderstand the 14th chapter of Isaiah. And that's talking about the Babylonian king, not about the devil. But anyways, that all-seeing eye has a tear under it. Right here. Why? That's the tear. Why is it under there? Because Satan is warning that he doesn't have everybody under his influence. That's a wrong picture of Satan, incidentally. He doesn't have an all-seeing eye. He has to walk about. Remember that. You know how to stay out of Satan's influence? I used to have a dog that we kept tied to a stake, but he could walk around in a circle. Now, I know if he's walking around in that circle, if I stay out of the circle, he can't bite me. So I don't get in the circle where Satan can bite me. I don't watch certain things. I don't go to certain places. I try not to hang around Brother Hicks too much, you know, things like that. I waited all night because you've been picking on me all day. Now, I want you to get your dollar bill out and look on the back of it and see if you can find that. That's the all-seeing eye. The Satanists believe that's the eye of Lucifer. According to Christians, that is denominational Christians, that's God's eye. And so it was put on our dollar bills. Well, that says something about money. You can use it correctly or you can use it incorrectly. Hexes and curses and control in the psychic way are worked through this emblem. So if you run into a Satanist and you get him angry, he may say, I'm going to put a curse on you. And the all-seeing eye is going to be watching you from now on. When I was over in Africa talking to those students over there, they believed in voodooism. And that there were ghosts in cemeteries. And we got to talking about that a lot. And I said, well, if you're around somebody who practices voodoo, just watch for the glass in the cereal because they can't do it any other way. There is no such thing as some kind of magic that can harm me. I don't know if you have that kind of superstition, but that's just going too far. This one I love. Watch this one. I'll just let you look at that one for a while.
It resembles the Ujjat, which we just looked at, and is akin to the all-seeing eye. Time Warner, I got that crooked, don't I? Time Warner has a monopoly on communications in the world. They control what you see and what you hear, and like the ancient Gentiles, they hold down the truth in unrighteousness. That's their symbol, folks. That's the all-seeing eye of Satanism. Whether they know it or not, I don't know, but it's the one they use. This next one is a corruption of the cross. It's a symbol of the god Mithras of the Persians and the Aryans of India. To them, Mithras was an angel of light. That's their symbol, Bert. He's the heavenly light. It is used in modern masonry under the T-square sign. It's the sign, the Tav cross. The Italian horn. This one is generally seen when they have an orgy. This is the fertility sign, the so-called Italian horn. It was at one time a unicorn horn, and it had a staff on it that they called the leprechaun staff. And when the Druids practiced in Scotland and Ireland centuries ago, that was their symbol with the leprechaun staff on it. It's supposed to be able to ward off an evil eye if you wear one. Much like, what's this stuff you use in frying? Garlic. Much like garlic's supposed to ward off Dracula or something. At least that's what I saw in the movie. This is a blasphemous one. This is Ankh. It's a combination of an ancient fertility symbol and the cross. And it symbolizes the building up of lust within a person. And according to the Satanist, a spirit of lust is the power that comes from the union of a male and a female. Sometimes this symbol is called the lifelong seal. The lifelong seal. This next one shocked me. When I looked this up on the internet and saw where it was, I almost jumped out of my chair. This is an upside-down cross. It's a mockery and a rejection of Jesus, whom they think is evil or say is evil. This necklace is worn by many Satanists with an upside-down cross. It can be seen on rock singers' arms, tattooed there. It's seen on their album covers. Check it out. And it was on the chair that belonged to Pope John Paul II. And I almost fainted when I saw that. I don't know if he knew what that was, but that's what it was. There was an upside-down cross. The sign of the zodiac. This is a symbol they use in their worship. When they look at that, they acknowledge in front of it that their god is Baal, or Beelzebub, or Lucifer. On all of that are the horoscope signs, and that's not a very clear picture there, but all of the symbols of the horoscope are around that thing. You know, the horoscope and these symbols and this kind of activity, these people are trying to manipulate God. They're trying to manipulate the future. They're trying to find out what's going to happen to them because they think they control everything. They don't rely on God. We come now to the goat head. The horned goat, contrary to popular opinion, that's not what the students call me. This is Baphomet, god of the witches, the scapegoat. It's a Satanist way of mocking Jesus as the lamb who died for our sins. The peace sign that mocks the cross of Jesus. It's called the dead man's cross. It's upside down, isn't it? It appears on the tombstones of some of Hitler's SS troops. Hitler was very fond of the occult and satanic practices. In fact, I'll show you something in just a moment. The Chinese philosophy yin-yang is a satanic practice. Yang is male, he's light, he's positive. Yin is female, of course, and dark and negative. You fellows can tell your wives about that tonight. This next one I've seen on rings around people's necks. the scarab beetle. It's the dung beetle. It's the symbol of reincarnation. It's a symbol of Beelzebub, the Lord of the Flies. It's worn by satanic followers to show that they have power and protection from Satan himself. The satanic S. How many of you were alive in World War II? What was the symbol, Ken, on the SS troops right there? It represents a lightning bolt that means destroyer. In mythology, it was the weapon of Zeus as he threw the lightning bolts down. It was worn to have power. You wear that, you're saying, I have power over you, which the SS troops said to everybody they met, of course. The satanic cross with a question mark under it. It questions, that when you see that, and I've seen it on pins, it questions the deity of God. That's what that's about. It's a cross with a question mark under it, the so-called satanic cross. I'm trying to hurry here. Listen, I'm only touching the hem of the garment tonight. There are a multitude of these things, all of which are sickening, aren't they? We have to go to bed after this tonight. Isn't this awful? The star and the crescent. Where'd you hear that? Represents the moon goddess. The next time somebody tries to tell you that Allah is just another name for you, just stomp your foot and say, no, sir. Don't ever buy into that nonsense. Allah is the name of the moon god of Mohammed's practice. And he wanted the moon god to be the big one. And so he tried to force it on the people of Medina, and they kicked him out. And he went over to Mecca and got himself an army and came back to Medina and defeated them. And so now his god is the big one, Allah. Don't ever buy into the thought that Allah is just another name for God. It isn't. It's a pagan religion and following the moon god practices. And if you're in Islam tonight, come and talk to me, because you need to get out of it, my friend. And there's one of its symbols right there. The star and the crescent, also used in satanic or witchcraft. Anarchy is resembled by that circle with the so-called A in it, again mocking the cross of Jesus Christ. It's used by punk rockers and heavy metal followers. That's their symbol. Usually they have it tattooed on them, or they have it on their albums or somewhere. These next symbols are done by the hand. This one, when you take your fingers and put them down and put the thumb underneath the fingers, that represents what you see there as the horned god of witchcraft. The god Pan is represented by this thing. That's the right hand now, and the thumb is under the fingers. You're saying, my god is Pan when you do that. I am a Satanist. If you take your left hand and put the thumb over the top of the fingers, what you're saying is, I'm placing a curse on you. Sue was going, yeah, yeah, yeah. Then we have this last one, the moon sign. Now, you folks think that's hook'em horns, but they use it to salute the rising moon. It's used by surfers. Watch them out there sometime. This is the sign that the Fuhrer should be using to indicate the hook'em horns. Right? Not the horn god. Well, we know the number 666, and someone tackles that in the book. I'll just leave it alone. And then the swastika, or the sun wheel. This is a religious symbol that was used by Satanists long before Hitler came to power. Hitler corrupted Christianity by the occult idea he had of it. One of the reasons he tried to murder so many people was in the name of his God. It was used. This inscription is used by Buddhists, Celtics, Greeks. It's used to represent sun god worship. If you don't think there are a lot more of these things, look at this sheet. These are the Gnostic symbols that started out with all of these things. There are all your astrological signs, just tons of them. People have all kinds of signs. I'll just leave that one up there maybe. I don't want anybody to be cursed tonight. So don't look at those too hard. They may cause some. No, they won't either. There is no magic in such symbols. None. Nada. Nil. And to think that there's any magic in any of these symbols is mere superstition. I got a call one day from a brother who had just been baptized into Christ. He said, "I've got an apostle in my living room." I said, "Keep him there. I've never met one." And I went over there, and this man tried to teach me about an apostle for about an hour and a half by misusing John 14, 15, and 16, misapplying all those verses. When he got done, I said, "Sir, if you're an apostle, I'm a preacher. I need the gift of prophecy. Please give it to me." He put his hand on my head, and he began to pray that I would get the gift of prophecy. I watched him for a while, and I said, "It's not working." He said, "You don't have enough faith." I said, "No, you're not an apostle. But if you really are, strike me blind." Because that's what Paul did to a man that interfered with his apostleship. He started to pray I'd go blind. After we talked to him a little longer and he left, Robert said to me, "Weren't you afraid to say that?" I said, "No, but I'm afraid of you now. If you think he can do that." There's no more power in these magical symbols than there are in false apostles or Pentecostal claims or any other nonsense I'm hearing. There's no power in them. Brother Conley wrote, "It is my conviction that the supernatural claims of occultism are just as reliable as the supernatural claims of Pentecostalism. A lot of thunder, but no lightning." Are they dangerous to us to do these things? There are three dangers. In Christianity, we must deal with ourselves. We must repent. We must remain faithful. But in satanic practice, you're the God. In satanic practice, it's music and noise and immorality. It's the do-your-own-thing religion. It is totally opposed to Christianity. And yet they claim that they have kept us in business all these years. That's their mock claim. Myths, fears, and outright paranoia abound in the practice of Satanism. How many of you remember all of these people who were satanically attacking children en masse? Remember all those court things and these so-called recalled memories finally and all of that nonsense wrapped up in satanic panic? And we found out later, maybe we made a mistake with these people. People who practice Satanism can cause panic in the world. A second thing, Satanism represents indulgence. Satanists accuse us of being self-deceived, irresponsible, because we are against self-indulgence. The Satanist says, if it makes you feel good, what? Do it. That's a danger. How many practice this? I don't know, but a lot of them do it, even though they don't call themselves Satanists. Superstitions fascinate people. Wearing these charms and amulets arouses the curiosity, incidentally, of the young, and that's dangerous. And Christians who are ignorant of all of these signs, evidently, are ignorant of them, are involved in some of this stuff. We have these people who believe in ESP. Your Bible says that's not possible. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, begin reading at verse 9. "And see if one man can know the thoughts of another. For what man knoweth the thoughts of another?" God said there's no such thing as ESP. I don't believe in that nonsense for a minute. Astrology is condemned. Yet, some people won't go out of the house unless they read their horoscope. And if they read it, they might stay home. Mind games are the tools of Satan. Some of the most popular television shows are on now called something Mind Freak, where he's supposed to be so magical. I'll just learn his tricks, I suppose. But the third danger may be the worst. And that is what it does psychologically to people who practice it. I studied under a man named Koch, and I quote him in the manuscript. Dr. Koch said, and he was teaching us pastoral counseling, he said that where white and black magic are practiced, we have psychic disturbances in the family. This rule may have an exception, although I have met with no exception where there were active occultists. Depression and moral inhibition are seen in those who practice these things. In fact, fear in general is characteristic of Satanists and those who involve themselves in such rituals. Satanism reads Gene Dixon's fantasies and believes them. Satanism practices witchcraft, uses drugs, even human sacrifice. That black mass is practiced on the top of a naked woman. If she's lying on her stomach, that's one idea. If she's lying on her back, that's another idea signifying the reincarnation. And over this situation, they call on the name of Jesus and God, and as incredulous as that might sound, that's what they're doing in a very blasphemous way. Koch adds this, in spite of arguments to the contrary, counseling confirms that fact that when a Christian gets involved in any form of spiritistic activity, his spiritual life is seriously affected. That's not true for the Buddhist or the Muslim or the followers of other religions. These religions are not impaired by spiritism. Why? They're superstitions themselves. But spiritism does immunize people against the workings of God. What do you do every time you spill salt? When the silverware falls, company's coming? No, that's how Chinese folks name their children. Ping, ting, ching, pong. You ever walk under a ladder? Black cat go across your path? Satanism is philosophical or religious or just fun, and it's dangerous. It makes us psychologically unstable, spiritually weak, and God hates it and condemns it. But thanks be to God, tonight Satan's defeated. He lost. He shrieked at the cross, but he lost. And we can keep him on the run if we'll do what Bert told us to do a while ago, and that's stay in the Word. A little boy was sitting in his room reading, and he was talking to the book. He said, "No, you are not. Oh, no, 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 no. That's not going to happen. No." His father walked by his room, said, "Son, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm reading a book." That scared his father a little bit. He didn't want to have a nutty son there. He said, "I see you're reading, but why are you talking to the book?" He said, "Daddy, this is a book about robbers and policemen. And the robbers think they're going to win all the time. But I read the end of the book." And so I tell them, "No, you're not. Satan is always telling us, I'm going to win. Just eat of the tree. You'll be better off. But I read the end of the book. He loses. He's marked. We know who he is. We've learned some of his symbols, some of his practices. And if he's listening right now, I hate him. And I want him to know that. I don't like him a bit. Because I've seen what he does to children, moms and dads, churches, relationships between brethren, the lost. And so if God is my helper, I'm going to tell everybody I meet, you can beat him. You just come to Jesus. But you have to come in the way he said, otherwise Satan still has you.